setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about you. Who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, where you can do it, and then how do you get there? Well, we've got seven stages, a very logical and doable path to do meaningful work, to work like very few people ever work in their life. You do it, you do your work with your talent, what you do best. You do work that you love, that's what we call passion. And you accomplish results that matter deeply to you. Use what you do best to do work you love, to accomplish results that matter to you. And let me tell you something. If that's what you're doing, I like to call it the juice. You just feel the juice. That means you're not miserable on Monday mornings. You're not living for the weekend. There was a great song, Joe. You'll have to do research for me because my brain is frying on me right here as I try to pull it. But great song, I think from the 80s or early 90s, Working for the Weekend. Lover Boy. Yeah. Working for the Weekend. What an anthem that was, right? I mean, that's what most people see work. Like, oh, I got to do it. I work to live. No, I'm telling you, you should live to work. You should live to contribute in your work with the same zest that you desire to contribute in your personal life. I think there's purpose in two areas of our life. That's it. Just two. In our relational and in our professional. Relational life and professional life. There's a unique role that you were created to fill. You are needed. You must do it. So that's what we talk about here, and it's a fun conversation. Boy, oh boy, did I accidentally kick a hornet's nest, Joe. Yesterday's show, I talked about why I'm concerned on behalf of humans. People. I am a man of the people, Joe. But I did a little rant on this potential $15 an hour minimum wage raise, and I am all for everybody making money. How could you listen to the show and not think that I'm about you making more money? You working on purpose. For the record, I am an independent. That was not me trying to carry the water for the Republican Party. I actually took on the Republican Party in the rant to say they're not really helping small businesses grow and pay more people either. They could do a way better job. I'll bang on the Republicans if you want me to. If you want me to say they're not leading, yeah, they're not leading like they should. But that's not what my point was. My point was, if we force small businesses to pay a higher minimum wage, they will have to pass on the costs to the consumer, raising prices. That happens with inflation, and they will eliminate jobs. And what I pointed out was real data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, not the Republican Party convention. But Joe, we put that video on Instagram and we had a couple people take shots at me, which I'm okay with, because if you just watch the video and you put aside your politics, because I don't mind if you disagree with me that you think you should raise the minimum wage. Great. I'm not here to defend my position or yours. What I'm telling you is that 1.6% of actual people who are being paid hourly wages in America, 1.6% of them are actually on minimum wage. So it's a very small amount of people that are actually making $7.25 an hour. And then I went on to say that the Congressional Budget Office, again, nonpartisan, said that this legislation, if it's invoked and it passes, 1.4 million people will lose their job. I'm always going to be concerned about that. So there you go. So was it a political post? No. Am I going to get political? No. But am I going to talk about things that affect you people and your job? Yes.
Dollars and cents.
I'm going to talk about it. Because I ain't running for office. I'm working for you people. You know that. So I went on and said to those people who took shots at me, thank you for engaging. I really am grateful that you follow me and that you engage. Sorry we disagree. I'm just commenting on the data, and I'm still here for you. So if you want to get in on that action, please don't be mean. Do not go to Instagram and feel the need to defend me. We've had some people go on there and try to defend me, and then it gets personal. Please stop. I'm not out here to change anybody's opinion. If you disagree with me on the minimum wage, great. I love you. I'm still going to help you. And I'm going to fight with you for 2 seconds on social media. I'm going to thank you for engaging. Even if you call me horrible and awful, which a few people did.
Hurt my feelings, Joe.
Oh, my goodness gracious sakes alive. Okay. You need to engage, by the way, with me on Instagram, because we are giving you tons of great stuff, and every once in a while you'll get an opinion maybe you don't like, but we're still going to love each other, all right? I don't even like my kids half the time, Joe, but I love them. I kid. It's like 25% of the time. I could say that because my kids don't watch the show. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, whatever, Dad. Whatever. All right, let's go to Kate in Los Angeles to get us started. Kate, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thank you so much for your time and your work.
You bet. Thank you.
My leader is leaving, and there's an official new person, obviously, is still in that transition phase. And before my leader actually arrived, the team was in a bit of a toxic place. I think there was a lot of confusion. I've seen some red flags. And so we're kind of back in that position again, and I'm worried. I'm worried that the interim person is who I think it might be, and just not a leader type, but I'm going to go with it. And
okay.
So I'm wondering what I can do to accept this, or if there's a different perspective I should take.
Yeah. Well, I love this question. This is maturity, Kate. And I think this is going to really help you with this. So a couple things, you know, worry doesn't ever solve a problem. It just doesn't. Worry never makes anything better. And in this case, worrying about something that's uncertain is even more counterproductive. Worrying doesn't help something that we're aware of, that we know, you know, it just doesn't help. It certainly doesn't help when we don't know what we're actually worried about. Like, I'm worried that this leadership situation may not be good. We already kind of had a not so good situation. Now we're going to have somebody new, and what happens if they're not great? You know, I think those are the right questions to ask. Like, what do I do? Where am I on this deal? If we have poor leadership come in, is this the nail in the coffin for me to go, you know what? Maybe I'm doing the right thing in the wrong place. You know, maybe this is the sign for me, or this is the moment for me to finally step out and pursue what I want to do. So A, don't worry about it, but B, I like the question. And I think that if you need the job, you want the job, I'd be grateful right now in the interim. Be grateful. Don't worry about it at all. Don't stress about it. Just do your job. Be awesome. You know? And know that you have little to no control over who they pick as the leader, I'm guessing. Is that correct?
A couple of times when leaders have left, this person has. And I think specifically to pinpoint what it is that I'm worried about is the favoritism and the environment.
Got it. Well, here's the deal. You can't control that. So here's the question. If this continues, do I feel like I can put up with this for a long-term situation? The answer is no. Put up with it in the short term. Start looking and go to a better environment, better culture, because eventually it'll wear you down. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get where you want to be in your life. That's right. The personal and the professional. There's a absolute connection between the two. Who you want to be has a professional piece to it. And I'm your guy. I am your coach, your counselor, your cheerleader. Because I know that every person on the planet longs to make a difference in this world. And I'm trying to help you find that contribution zone. I call it the sweet spots, where you use your talent, what you do best, hard skills, soft skills, to perform your passion, work you love. You just love thinking about this work. You love doing this work. Time seems to disappear. You don't want to stop doing it. High emotion, high devotion in work you love. And then All work creates a result. So you use what you do best to do work you love to accomplish results that matter to you. Who are the people you most want to help? What are the problems they have, or the needs, the desires they have? What are the solutions that meets the need or solves the problem? There's your answer to the results you want to accomplish in this world. And let me tell you something. It is possible to make income and impact. So come one, come all. I don't care who you are, what you believe, what somebody said to you. I'm telling you, there is a unique role in this world for you and your work, because somebody out there needs you to show up and be the best version of you. And I'm telling you, you know that deep down. And if I need to help you get through some junk that's keeping you stuck, that's fine. I've been there. Let's go. Give me a shot. The answers are within you. If you'll trust me and let your heart speak, I think we can help you. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Coming up next segment. Your next job interview may be with a robot. I'm going to tell you what that looks like, how it's happening, and what you can do about it, because it is a it's happening, and you need to know how to win in those interviews, because you're going to be interviewed by artificial intelligence. I'm just telling you, it's already happening. So we'll get into that. 844-747-2577, Canton, Ohio, home of the NFL Hall of Fame. Justin joins us there. Justin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
Hey, here's what I got going on. I've been on the railroad for 22 years. I'm a locomotive engineer, and I'm 40 years old. And I've reached the highest point in my area that I can. And I've been wanting to progress my career. I've been wanting to go into supervision. The problem is I don't want to work for the company I work for in supervision, for the lifestyle, the decisions they have to make. So anyways, my question is, I've got 21 years vested into my retirement. I have to work another 20 to collect my retirement. Should I look for a supervision job within the railroad realm, within the railroad retirement, or should I branch out and walk away from the retirement and look at other companies?
Well, you know, Justin, you did such a good job of setting up the question for me. You answered your own question. You just said that you did not want to work as a leader for the railroad company because of the lifestyle and all the other negative junks that come, the negative junk that comes from that.
Right.
Then you turn around and ask me, should you do it? What kind of a coach am I? If I go, yes, you should do it. Now, I know why you're asking a question. I'm having some fun with you. And I understand why you're asking the question, because you're making this a financial question, but it's not a financial question.
Okay.
So I'm going to flip it on you. I understand you feel like, hey, I've invested this much time with the company, and I'm not going to see a nickel of that money that is in my retirement account. And you're going, boy, that feels really dumb.
Right.
But are you willing to trade 20 more years of not making progress, or being a leader in an awful situation that has all kinds of emotional, mental, and physical, and maybe even spiritual negativity attached to it?
That's what I'm worried about. Even going to another railroad, it's going to be the same environment or culture, even though it's a different company or whatever. So,
what's your financial picture right now? Do you have any debt?
We have two car payments, but we were financially been saving, and my wife's a nurse, so overall we're good in that front. So
okay, so here's the point: you're 40, you're not 60.
Right.
So your she's been investing, I'm guessing, in a 401k or something like that.
Yeah, and I have a 401k on top of my retirement. So
oh, okay. How much you got in your 401k?
$120,000,
dude. Done, out, gone. Bye-bye, railroad.
Okay.
You're fine. Right. You got 120 in your 401k, and you're 40. And you're going to go work in the private sector, and you're going to lead people.
Right.
Take that word supervision out of your vocabulary. Nobody wants to hire a supervisor. People want to hire leaders.
Okay. One quick question. You know, I'm looking around at other jobs. I don't have a college degree. I hired on the railroad when I was 19.
Doesn't matter.
And I have a lot. So should I see all these jobs for managers, supervisors, leaders, they want bachelor's degrees and all this stuff. And I just get so frustrated because I'm like, how am I going to use what I've done for the last 21 years?
Yep. Here's
to provide
the deal.
For my
okay.
family.
So this is why you've been listening to me long enough. Hear me talk about the proximity principle. No, I wrote an entire book on it.
Yeah.
You got the book?
No.
All right. I'm giving it to you as soon as we're done with the call.
Okay? Oh, thank you.
You bet. Madison will give you whatever format you want, ebook, audio, or hard copy. I want you to read it because here's how you face that. There is a reason why companies put bachelor's degree in their job description. Like you got to have this requirement because everybody did it for a really long time. More and more companies are pulling that out because they realize that a bachelor's degree means little to nothing as it relates to doing the job. So they're stripping it, but a lot of companies, it's still the default mode, the status quo. And so they'll put that on there because they think that it is eliminating riffraff. Do you consider yourself to be riffraff, Justin?
Absolutely not.
Abso-freaking-lutely not. No.
Yeah, at 20. Yeah. At 20 years old, I started my own business. Yeah. I was doing that and working on the rare, you know, so.
Yeah, here's the deal.
I got places to go. And
so here's the deal. Listen to me. I'm pumping you up. All right?
Okay.
So we use the proximity principle. We get around people that are in leadership, that are leading in companies. We start hanging out with those people. We start hanging out with professional people in the private sector, leaders who are making decisions. And we maybe go reconnect with some people on a more intentional level that we've not connected with, but we know. And we say, hey, I've been leading. This is my professional career. I've led people. I am a leader now. I'm a leader of men and women. I want to lead. I'm qualified. The only thing I don't have is the bachelor's degree. And so I'm just making connections all over the place. And you keep connecting and you keep opening up doors. You use the proximity principle. Please read the book. It's about...
Oh, I will.
Here's what the proximity principle says. In order to do what Justin wants to do, he wants to be in leadership. He's got to be around people that are doing it in places where it is happening. Start hanging out with other leaders is my point. Start making connections with people that you know that work for companies that hire leaders. They know you.
Right.
They know you're a rock star. So they're going to take your resume in and they're going to look at the colleague that they know first name basis and go, let me tell you about Justin. Justin's a freaking rock star. Here's how long I've known Justin. Here's how I know him. Here's why I believe in him. And he's going to apply for this leadership position. Doesn't have a bachelor's degree, but it'll make a hill of beans difference. That's how you circumvent that ridiculous requirement.
Okay.
Relationships, Justin. And I wrote the book on how to get where you want to go. It's called The Proximity Principle. It's a number one bestseller. Justin, it is your is my gift to you, sir. Read it, do it, start actively engaging with connections. And opportunities will come to you. That's how you get around the bachelor's degree. Once people know you and know that you're a viable candidate, they don't give two freaking flips about your college degree. This I know. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. Coming up, your next job interview might be with a robot. I'm going to explain what that means, how it's happening, how that affects you getting the job you want, and what you can do about it to be prepared to win the interview. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Oh, welcome back. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I am the man of the people. Now, some people hear that and they think, well, that's a political show. No, not at all. I am a man of the people because I am all about you discovering your purpose and then seeing you fulfill it. And we're going to look at the work aspect of your purpose because I don't think that you could talk about purpose and not talk about your work. You were created to work. In other words, you were created to contribute. This is why everybody says to me, even those that are have no idea, they think they don't have an idea what they want to do with their life. They say, Ken, I just want to help people. Welcome to the human race. This is the unifying issue across the world. No matter what you believe, how you vote, whatever. Everybody wants to make a difference in this world. We want to move through this life and feel like we made our mark. So I'm taking on the worldview of work that just says we work to live just to get a paycheck, to pay the bills, and hopefully there's a little bit left over to make some memories. That's not what this life is about. I believe we live to work, to contribute, to create, and make the world a better place. Now, if that infuriates you or offends you, goodness gracious sakes alive, please go see a therapist and then come on back to the show. 844-747-2577. Hey, big news. We are bringing back our very popular Get Hired event. So if you feel like you aren't where you want to be, meaning you're in an hourly wage job or two or three because you got laid off or furloughed or whatever the situation is, you want to grow in your career, move up the ladder, so you want to get another job. Get Hired is the event for you. It is April the 27th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central Time. I'll be live here. We'll have a very limited but awesome and exclusive crowd here at Ramsey Solutions World Headquarters. And then we will beam it out across the world. And the tickets start at just $20. DaveRamsey.com/events. DaveRamsey.com/events. Why should you come to this? Or someone that you know or love should come to this? Because I'm going to do a deep dive in our three stages, the first three stages of the seven stages to meaningful work. Get clear, get qualified, get connected so you can get hired. Okay? So you don't want to miss this. At $20 just to get in at the basic digital stream opportunity, that's a great gift for somebody maybe who's graduating college in a couple of months, somebody who's down, feeling like they can't catch their break. Here's where we are right now. There are 16 unemployed people for every open job in the United States. I think that's going to change quickly. So if you're in a competitive situation or you're going to see a lot of opportunities come back to you and you want to get the job, you want to get hired, this is the event for you. Go to DaveRamsey.com/events. Okay, saw this article and I've got to share it with you folks. I told you I'm a man of the people. You need to know this stuff. This is unbelievable. It's from The Observer, Katie Bishop, the reporter. Your next job interview may be with a robot, whether you realize it or not. So what is going on here? So interviews are being assessed now by algorithms. Listen to this, that use your facial expressions, your intonation. That's I'm here, then I go up, oh, and I come back down. And word choices, facial expressions, intonation and word choices to evaluate whether you might be right for the role. An estimated 83% of U.S. companies are using some form of artificial intelligence in their HR processes. Why? Because of the advance of technology, people aren't sending in hard copies of resumes or walking in the door. It's all online. So it's easier, which means they're submitting more resumes. So companies are inundated with resumes. So what do? Companies try to get efficient. They can't go through all these resumes, so they come up with efficiencies that other people are selling them. We have smart entrepreneurs out there saying, hey, we'll give you technology that you can screen people. And so here we are. It ranges, this artificial intelligence, from video software to where a candidate will do an initial interview on a computer via video, and there's no human over there paying attention to anything they're saying, to chatbots, in which they will answer basic questions and they're screened. Keywords from the job description should be in your resume, should be in your answer as well. More on what you do later. Now, this is not without problems. And that's why you really got to be prepared. I'll, again, address that in just a moment. In 2018, Amazon abandoned one of their computerized interview processes because they learned that the machine was discriminating against female candidates. Because there's not a human on the other end of this. So you plug in an algorithm, and a formula, and a computer's not going to read somebody. They're not going to feel the conversation. And so it started discriminating against female candidates. So they had to get rid of it. It's becoming so common that some colleges, and I believe more will do this, are offering lessons in how to complete artificial intelligence powered interviews. But there is always the risk that these algorithms are going to transform the hiring process or the recruitment process into a box ticking exercise. Oliver Key is an HR expert, and he believes that as this becomes more and more popular, candidates will try to game the system. Duh, they're definitely going to game the system. They won't try, they'll game it. And this is going to be a huge problem for you leaders out there and companies. If you go so heavy into AI, you're going to make more hiring mistakes than you're already making, and that's a huge cost for you. Huge cost in time and money to replace that bad hire. So, everything I teach on this show and I put in my How to Win the Interview guide is still relevant. Key goes on to say, bring your own differentiated data to the interview. It's still the best way to stand out. That means experience, personality, and raw intelligence. I'm going to go further and say, that's why you research the company. Know about the company, the mission, the results, values, what the culture's like. Know your role inside and out that you're applying for. Read the job description to the point you can say it backwards. Know why you want to be there, what you can do for them, how you can help them win. Be able to say it backwards. If you do that, you can still get through the computerized system. But it's going to hurt a lot of people, and we got to wake up to this. So I share this with you to say, you got to figure this out because this is what you're up against. And I'll make this point. I'm all for technology and I'm all for efficiencies. But the human component is always, always, always important. And I think there is a challenge here for companies, leaders, I'm talking to you, what's the right amount of technology and efficiency? What's the right amount of screening before we get to a real human being? I just did some consulting for an organization in Utah right before the start of the year, and their screening process is brief and it's very efficient, but it is a human talking to people. And I'm telling you right now, there is no robot that is ever going to be able to feel. They're just not. Oh, Ken, I don't know. You're not a... It's like me saying anything on, but you say anything nowadays, people take a shot at you. So go ahead. Well, Ken, you're not a robot expert. No, I'm not. But here's what I know. Robots don't have a soul. They don't have a heart. So therefore, they cannot feel emotions and read emotions. And the human screening process is invaluable. Invaluable. So don't make the mistake, companies, of trying to be so efficient that you end up spending more money trying to fix bad hires because you put everything into a program and trusted a robot to screen people. Yikes. Slippery slope. Be careful. All right. Coming up, more of your calls, more people getting clear so that they can confidently step out on the path to fulfilling their purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we have a conversation about the all-important question that every human wrestles with at some point in their life. What should I do with my life? Let me give you the broad answer. You should do what you were created to do. How do I figure that out? Well, we start by looking at what you do best, your talent, work you love to do, your passion, and results you want to accomplish in this world. Things you want to produce, people you want to help, the problems you want to solve, solutions you want to bring. That's mission. So the formula is talent plus passion plus mission equals purposeful work, on purpose, meaningful work. You are working and you are producing significance and all the success that you need and the money you need, that'll come with it. Significance is the engine. Success is the caboose. People have got it all wrong. We'll help you. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Allison. Is it you? Oh, you learn something new every day. Allison is joining us in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Allison, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi. So I'm basically just looking for some advice. I am in an entry-level position in my company. I'm due up for promotion. I've been having talks for a year now with my leadership, mm-hmm. and I've basically been told that there's nothing else I need to do to move up. Mm-hmm. That was a couple months ago, and I just found out now that the promotion's been delayed, and they won't give me a timeline of when it might go into effect.
Yep.
And so I'm just struggling because I'm pretty much like already doing the work, and mm-hmm. I just kind of feel like a pushover.
So you're doing the work that is attached to the title of promotion.
Yeah.
How'd that happen? They basically said, hey, we need you to do this extra work to help us out. And eventually there's probably going to be a promotion tied to this, which I'm guessing different title, better pay. And then that part's been pushed off.
Yeah, essentially.
That's bad.
I know. And I'm struggling because like I feel grateful, you know, that I have a job, I have the opportunity.
Yeah.
At the same point, like I have goals that I want to accomplish.
Okay, that's perfect. That's what I want to ask you. If you stay and you put up with this poor leadership, and I'm not trying to be unkind, some leaders just don't know they're doing it poorly. Sometimes they do and they don't care. I don't know what the situation is. But if you were to stay, is there strategy in staying? Meaning, if you do eventually move up, they do what they say they were going to do. Is this the ladder you want to be on? Are you on the right ladder? Or is this something where this job is kind of just getting you started in the workforce? You know the kind of work you want to do, or at least a direction, and this really doesn't have a long-term play. What's your take on this?
So like this is about like the third position I have, and it's something I've kind of found my niche now.
Okay.
So I was hoping to stay here for a while.
Okay.
But I think that this has just kind of put a bad taste in my mouth.
Of course. Of course it has.
Am I in the right field, but just not the right company?
Well, you just told me this is your niche. That's one way of saying the sweet spot. You like this work. How would you describe your role? What's the work?
It's a lot of like executional based work. So I'm basically sending out member communications to people.
Yeah.
And I like to be busy. Like I'm a go-getter. So
yeah.
I just feel like I've kind of gotten taken advantage of though in that.
Well, let me tell you, you have.
Not very assertive.
You absolutely have.
Yeah.
What I don't know is it just poor leadership or is it ugly leadership? Ugly meaning they're doing it on purpose. They've taken advantage of you or is it poor leadership? They got over their skis and they haven't done a good job of coming back to you going, hey, we're sorry. We told you this. We didn't do it right. You know, I just don't know. What do you think it is? You think it's ugly or do you think it's poor?
I think it's just poor.
Yeah. So here's a couple things you could do. One is you go talk to your leader and go, hey, I want to be here. I like this work. Here's what's happened. You guys told me, you guys know what happened. And it's just, I mean, it kind of leaves me in limbo and it's not a fun position to be in because I'm doing the extra work, but I'm not receiving the pay.
Yeah.
Or the title. Now, if you feel you can do that in a very humble way, which I think you can, in a grateful way, and let's see how they react. Because here's what happens. If it's poor leadership, but it's a good person and a healthy person, they'll go, you know what? You're totally right. I see it. I see that. I'd feel the same way you do. Let's fix that. I'm sorry. Let's try to fix that. I can't move you now. Here's why we couldn't do it in the first place, but we can do this. That's one option. The other option is you say, you know what? I can find this work in other places because I know you can. And so you could say, you know what? This is poor leadership. I don't know if it's going to get better anytime soon because you're not going to be able to help these people fix their leadership. You can bring something up and hopefully do the right thing, but you're not in a position to train them as a leader. So in that case, you would be doing the right thing in the wrong place is what I call that in our Should I Quit My Job quiz. And if you took the Should I Quit My Job quiz at kencoleman.com, I'll bet you come
no,
out.
No, I haven't.
You need to just for okay. fun after this call. It's free. It's seriously, good. It's 20 questions. And it's probably going to spit out you're doing the right thing in the wrong place because you love the work. I know that's what it's mm-hmm. going to spit out. I created the quiz. So the point is, I'd start looking. I'd be grateful. I'd hang in there. Don't do anything right now and jump and interrupt your income. I know it hurts. Yeah. I know it doesn't feel good, but be better and just, you know, be classy. Look for something else mm-hmm. in a better environment where there's some more mobility, maybe. A lot more opportunity to move up. Because, see, the world's full of positions for people like Allison. Allison, you're a get-it-done execution, you know, operational, you know, make it happen. Just get out of the way. I'm checking the box. Those positions are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I do? I'd have some fun. I'd start looking.
Okay. I can do that.
I know. And see, you got a giggle in your step. So that's good right now. I hear a giggle on the other line. That means you know that you are not destined to stay at this place. If they fix it, great. If they don't, still be cool and keep looking. That's what I think you should
Sounds
do.
Good.
Yeah, you got this, Allison. Thank you so much for the call. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Sam in Sugarland, Texas. Sam, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Well, Ken, I am just about to be living the dream.
Uh-oh.
And I got to say, first of all, your resources actually worked. I followed the proximity principle. I've used the resume guide and the interview guide and the post-interview guide. It all works, and I start my dream job on Monday.
Yes! Come on, give me some applause, Joe. Yeah! Way to go, Sam! Man, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
So what's up? How can I help? Feels like you're doing everything, man. You've done it all.
I've done it all, yeah, I know. My question for you, Ken, is that even though I got my dream job starting on Monday, I'm actually very nervous, and I guess my question is for you is that how would you suggest that someone would overcome their first day of work anxiety?
Okay, great. How old are you, Sam?
I'm 28.
Sam, do you remember your first day of kindergarten or your first day of junior high, middle school? Do you remember that first day of high school?
It's been so long ago, but yeah.
Yeah. Somewhat. Did you have some anxiety?
I did.
What'd you do?
I was one of those kids who would just, you know, walk in the hallway, go into my locker, and the first thing I have in mind is just going to class without making eye contact with anybody.
Okay, well, that we cannot do that at the job. All right?
We cannot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the deal, Sam. Are you good enough to do this job?
I am. I know I can do better at this job.
Are you going to do something stupid, like really dumb?
I will not.
Are you going to do something illegal?
Absolutely not.
Do you want this job, Sam?
I really want this job.
Well, I think you're fine. I think you just review those answers. I want to be here. I belong here. I'm going to do great here. Say that to yourself in the car. I want this job. I belong. I'm going to crush it. I've earned this. You look everybody in the eye and smile. I don't care if you feel like you're going to throw up on their shoes. Look at them in the eye and smile and just walk through the day, bro. You're going to be fine. Come on, Sam. You got this. Nerves are normal. Hey, before I go, you matter. You have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.